place a fine on that defendant. I don't think Oregon law now, and I'm just guessing now, would allow for that kind of enforcement of a contempt remedy.
Any questions? President Burden?
No, I think it does answer your question.
Okay, are there any questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Mr. Mayback. Okay, are there any other witnesses that wanted to testify on 705-31? Now we'll close the hearing on 531. Open the hearing on Senate Bill 229. Yes. Mr. Brenna. Welcome again.
We'll do all three, Mr. Chairman, one time.
Wonderful. What is that?
229, 30, and 31.
Okay.
For the record, my name is Carl Brenna, Assistant Director of the Division of State Lands. The first bill I've given to the legal counsel a narrative on each one of these bills. I'll not go through them and repeat them, Mr. Chairman, for time. Just to briefly cover them. 229 relates to public record. What we're asking for in this measure is to exempt from the public records law the reports that are filed by banks, life insurance companies, utilities, in other words, the holders, until such time as the Division of State Lands, under the law, has had the opportunity to advertise and to attempt to locate those owners. That's a period of about 8 months. And during that time, we're asking that those records be declared as protected under the public records, that they are secure records. They really don't belong to the state or the information until it's really turned over to the state, which occurs in the initial reports are made in November and December. We publish in March. We try to find those owners until approximately May, at which time the holders then turn over the unlocated owners. And at that point, we figure that the finders or air searchers can then have full access to those accounts that have actually been turned over to the state. In other words, we're exempting from the public records law those records that are in process. Along with that, the Senate, when they heard the discussion on this bill, there is a provision under ORS
1. Okay, questions from the committee?
It's a very simple exclusion for about 6-7 months to give the agency the opportunity to try to find these people before the records become public.
Okay. Thank you. Senate Bill 230.
Senate Bill 230 is a bill that is got two parts to it. One refers to underlying shares, and the other refers to a provision that's in the statute where there's interstate cooperation in the auditing and finding and locating of unclaimed funds. I'll cover the underlying shares first. When the 1981 Uniform Act was adopted by, just as a Uniform Act, Oregon did not adopt all of its provisions, and one of the provisions of the Uniform Act was the underlying shares. At that particular time, there was only 10 or 12 of the states that had adopted this provision. Subsequent to the 1981 Uniform Act, approximately 50% of the states now have a provision for the taking of underlying shares. What that means, basically, is that if a corporation, a business issues stock, and they have issued the original certificate, the certificate was mailed, but they have been unable to contact the owner, either through communications or the payment of dividends, the distribution of dividends. This measure now would allow the company to issue a duplicate share. In other words, void the original share, issue a duplicate share, and transmit that to the state of Oregon as unclaimed and abandoned fund. We had quite a discussion in the Senate on this particular bill, and that's why the lengthy amendments in A and gross measure, their concerns stem from the fact of our definition as being, in the original bill, referred to intangible interest. And we changed that to read intangible equity ownership interest. I'm not a lawyer, so I can't define it exactly what they were after, but they wanted to make sure that what we were talking about was that particular document, that undistributed or that certificate that was outstanding, and that the interest was the interest in that document or any dividends that had become payable on that document. And we believe those amendments adopted by the Senate now describe that in its finite detail. The second part of the original Senate Bill 230 had to do with interstate cooperation, where the Attorney General hires the assistance of an Attorney General in another state to pursue a matter for Oregon. We want to pay those costs. Likewise, if another state wants to pursue a matter in this state and hire the services of the Attorney General, they would pay the costs. And this is a clarification of the existing statute.
Questions? Representative Burton?
That clarification then on who gets paid the fee is what clarifies the issue in 230.
In the original law, there was an error made, and it appeared that maybe Oregon was going to pay the legal costs of another state, and we wanted to correct that.
Okay, and that also takes care of both 230.
Both sides of the question, yes, Mr. Representative Burton.
Counsel.
Yeah, Mr. Brennan, could the RAG hire private counsel in a different state and vice versa?
Yes, they can.
Okay.
Yes, they can.
Mr. Brenner, maybe counsel, you know what the time period is for when a person is lost in our statute, and, you know, and then they're go in and say
deceased?
Yeah.
7 years.
Seven. Why is this 5 years as opposed to conformity with our other statute that says 7 years?
Okay. 5 years is the change that was adopted by the 1983 legislature pertaining to all unclaimed funds. This makes this uniform with all other banks, savings and loans, gift certificates, the whole gamut of different payable accounts that could become due to the state. It is different than the absentee 7-year rule, where you go and petition the court for a death certificate in absentia. That is available, for example, to the Division of State Lands if, for example, we receive unclaimed funds at the end of 5 years and 2 years subsequent, we could go under the absentee statute and petition the court for determination of death and then file a probate and take it under the escheat law.
So the reason we're going with 5 years is because it's consistent with everything else in the abandoned property area.
And it's consistent with most of the other states also. It's becoming uniform.
Why is our 7-year law different than most other states? I don't quite understand why it wouldn't all be consistent.
Well, this is unclaimed money, where the other is an escheat fund under a probate jurisdiction.
Right, I understand that.
And that's the only difference.
Further questions? Well, I'll chat later. You want to get the money sooner. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
That's exactly.
Thank you. Okay. Further questions? Okay. Senate Bill 231.
This one, Mr. Chairman, was the one that the Senate amended by adding an additional section. Originally, we asked for a measure to repeal the Unclaimed Property Compact. The Unclaimed Property Compact was adopted by Oregon in 1957. It preceded a Supreme Court decision that was rendered in 1967-68 in the Texas versus New Jersey Sun Oil case. What it relates to is the equitable distribution of unclaimed funds when the address of the owner cannot be determined from the holder's records. There is a provision that would say that it then escheats or is distributed to the company's record domicile. For example, a company may be doing business solely within the state of Oregon, but be registered and domiciled in Delaware. If the company would lose track of the owner's address and it was unknown, those monies could go to Delaware rather than Oregon. The compact also provides for that kind of a distribution. There was only three states that adopted the compact: Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Oregon. The need for the compact has been superseded by Texas versus New Jersey. It's been superseded by the 1981 Uniform Act, and it, at this point, really serves no purpose. It came to light when the Attorney General was filing amicus, is that what a friend of the court represents or whatever, in a prudential suit in another state. And in that discussion, it found that Prudential had a large amount of money, nearly $1 million, that they could not actually identify what state the owner belonged in. There's two formulas that they could do. They could escheat it all to the state of domicile, or they could distribute it on the basis of population. In both cases, Oregon would lose, because number one, we're not a large population center, and number two, the corporation was not domiciled in the state of Oregon. So that's why we're asking for the compact to be repealed. It serves no purpose in today's processes. The addition that the Senate added to the bill in the A and gross measure was to repeal ORS 98-418. 98-418 directly relates, you might say, to the public lands exclusion provision in Senate Bill 229. 418 says that if a finder or an air searcher locates the owner of an account and makes an agreement for a finder's fee, that if that finder's fee is assessed within 2 years of the delivery of the proceeds to the Division of State Lands and the owner objects, it's unenforceable. But the problem is the owners don't know the law. And so it really serves no purpose. In fact, the finders do a service for both the owner and the state. Number one, we do not have to staff our office to the extent of being air searchers. The air searchers and our finders serve that capacity. Secondly, the sooner they can get on an account, the sooner they can tie those funds to the actual owner. And that generally, Mr. Chairman, is a brief summary of the three bills.
Thank you. Very good summary as well. And it's in writing. We appreciate that very much. Are there questions from the committee members? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We have discussions on, actually, we had listed a hearing and possible work session. House Bill 2850, nobody signed up for a hearing. We have 35 minutes here. We're quickly, why don't we take a, well, we have to be at four. How long do we go?
You need four for a quorum.
Right. Why don't we take a 4-minute recess before we start our work session? Why don't we try to round up? We need to call the committee back to work session. Subcommittee, I'll come back to order. We're in a work session now, and we're going to proceed quickly from the bottom of our work session agenda. We have Senate Bill 373. Council, there weren't any amendments offered to this bill. Is that correct?
There was one by Ann Hubert. You have a little minor in front of you. Changing a may to shall. I believe her concern was what the court should do. She thought that the court shall do things rather than have the discretion.
Senate Bill 373. We have an amendment on page 2, line 21.
Page 2.
There isn't a measure.
That must
be on
the
gross version. Page 2 in the printed
bill. Page 2 or Ain Gross?
Ain Gross bill.
Page 2.
Well, I don't have that in mind.
It's the first word on line 21.
I've got stay.
We've got stay.
This is Senate Bill 373.
Senate Bill 373. Ain Gross. Line 21. On its own motion, the court with jurisdiction of a person on trial visit under Section 2 of this 85 Act may cause a person to be brought before for a hearing to determine. And the amendment would change the may to shall.
373?
Yes.
It's not in the version I have.
Are you looking at the A and Gross bill?
Yep.
I'll stop. There's a different A and Gross version which has corrected sponsors.
Oh,
which we don't have.
Ah.
This says corrected sponsors on it.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Thought we had lost it.
I think we ought to have a special account in the budgeting and the legislature on printing for Senate versus House.
They took out Senator Brockman as a sponsor.
Well, I'm a sponsor of this bill. Must be a good bill then.
We have the amendment before us.
Whose amendment is this again?
From Ann
Hubert. Legal Aid.
Legal Aid.
Or ACLU.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bellamy.
I would move Senate Bill 373, A and Gross, the corrected sponsor version, to the floor and do pass recommendation.
Representative Bellamy has moved Senate Bill A and Gross, corrected version of Senate Bill 373 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Let me just ask if there's interest. In reading that sentence, it seems to me that if a court on its own motion has decided that they want to bring a person before it to determine whether the person is or is not adhering to the terms and conditions of the trial visit, I'm not sure if a may or shall really changes anything. Is that clear?
I think you're right.
Yeah. Okay. Sir.
Can you, excuse me?
Do you have the A and Gross corrected version?
A and Gross.
A and Gross corrected sponsors. You do?
Yes.
Okay. have an amendment that has not been moved to change this may to shall. I don't think it means any difference. Is there further discussion on the motion? Do any members have a desire to amend the bill? Not, clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye. Motion is adopted. Senate Bill 88. Council, were there any amendments offered to this bill?
Mr. Chairperson, no. Council 88. We have a copy of a letter from Michael Marcus saying he's in favor of the materials.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 88 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Peterson moves Senate Bill 88 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Madam Clerk, to call the roll, please.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Kavetsky?
Aye. Motion is adopted. Senate Bill 87.
Mr. Chairperson, you asked me to call Mr. Pinkerton from Burns, Oregon, as to his letter at the hearing. I talked to him and Jordan Robinson, legal. Once the council talked to him, he agrees there is no necessity for any amendments, and he's happy with the bill as is. And you also have a letter from Michael Marcus, who is also in support of the bill.
Okay, are there any?
Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Move House Bill or Senate Bill 87A to the full committee with due pass recommendation.
Representative Bellamy moves Senate Bill 87A and goes to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Clerk will call the roll, please.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Kavetsky?
Aye. Motion passes. Senate Bill 86.
Mr. Chairperson, there were no amendments to this. You had asked Joan Robinson, the legislative counsel, if there was a necessity for conflict amendments. She provided me a letter saying there's no need because there's no conflict in purpose or language of other bills. You also have a letter from Michael Marcus in support of the bill.
Could you explain to me why in line 13 then, what is her argument then in terms of not changing the 3,000 to 10,000? So this is the dollar figure and it doesn't make any reference to district court jurisdiction fee. And if 2097 is approved, that will have that. The approval of that bill will not change the $3,000 figure.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Maybe I can help staff out. I would move to amend Senate Bill 86 by striking 3,000, including 10.
Okay, but let me hear counsel's argument before I accept that motion.
Okay. Mr. Chair, as you know, House Bill 2097 has not been passed yet.
Right.
And what happens is you would go into the order of the way the bill passed. And the last bill passed would prevail, and I think you would fall back to $3,000.
No. If this bill passes, I mean, this bill has nothing to do with 2097,
right.
Is that correct?
Correct.
And if 2097 passes and 86 passes, the $3,000 figure will stay the same, is that correct?
If 87 bill, 86 is passed second, yes.
Passed second?
Right.
Well, if it's passed first, it'll stay the same, too. I mean, it doesn't matter.
I will check with Joan Robinson on this matter.
Yeah, am I missing something? The $3,000 figure in this bill has no reference to district court jurisdiction amount. We all think that that's why the 3,000 is there. Is that correct?
This 46.070 is a district court jurisdictional amount. It falls under the section of jurisdiction for district courts. The one section in Senate Bill 86, Ain't Gross.
So this is the same section that's in there? It is in there.
I think so.
Ah. Okay, I'll trust you.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative
Ballard. I'll double check if it moves on, Mr. Chairperson.
I guess the question would be, now that I think about it, is there any need in raising it to $10,000? Effectively, could you ever have a counterclaim of more than three for non-payment of rent?
Representative Springer.
You could. Rocky, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't legislative council prepare amendments that say if such and such becomes law?
Representative Springer,
becomes law.
Up until this session, they did. This session, we have not received any conflict amendments.
Well, I guess that's the point to check out.
I think it's a new policy downstairs in legislative council.
The
Speaker's office is working on it.
Why don't we try to move the bill to the full committee, and then if that's successful between now and full committee, I'll check it.
Either way, we could change it to 10. The only reason I say that is that the closure on the raising the jurisdictional limit to 10 has been decided by both sides of the House. The only issues left are other issues. So we could amend it to 10. We could do that in full committee just as easy. I mean, it isn't a big thing.
I guess if we change it to 10, then it's got to go back to Senate for concurrence. And that's time, which is money.
That's true.
So if it's okay with you, I will get a resolution on this. Okay, Representative Burton.
I would move Senate Bill 86 to the full committee and the repass recommendation.
Representative Burton moves Senate Bill 86A and Gross to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Just further discussion. Start to call the roll.
Melody?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Kotetsky?
Aye. Motion is adopted. House Bill 2998. I believe we have some people here that wanted to respond to the OEA or Cummins amendments presented to the committee on Friday. It's my intent not to take any action on the bill, but to listen to the arguments from the folks that I'm not sure if I have a sign-up sheet necessary, but would ask for volunteers.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dowling.
Where are we going to take action on the Horsetown County Judge?
Was that 2850? That was going to be the last bill. I don't think that would take.
Oh, wait.
2850. Which is?
It's 2850.
Okay.
Which means I didn't bring it.
I'm tired of representing Phillips' question.
Four. We're going to need more people here to have work session on that bill, Representative Bellamy. But we are going to have work session.
I can count. No, it only takes 3 minutes to get to full committee.
Four. That's correct.
Good.
Why don't we try to do that?
Why don't we try to do that?
Okay. House Bill 2850. Is that the correct number?
Right.
We'll do a quick work session, okay?
Which
relates to increasing, is it a shared judge or a full-time district court judge?
A shared judge between circuit court and district court for Washington County.
Right, and the chair would entertain a motion to send it to the full committee without recommendation.
I so move.
Representative Bellamy moves House Bill 2850 to the full committee without recommendation. Discussion. Clerk will call. Representative, we just had a motion to, in the process of voting on a little motion. motion to send House Bill 2850 to Washington County Judgeship to the full committee without recommendation. Discussion. Representative Buck.
I didn't talk to Representative Phillips. I'd certainly like to see that bill go to the committee.
In one form or another.
Further discussion? Clerk will call the roll, please.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bun?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Metzger?
No.
Mr. Chair, I want you to know that I did not agree to do it until I fully checked out what's going to happen to it in ways and means.
Okay, I'll save my speech for the full committee. House Bill 2998. Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Blair.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Blair, Assistant City Attorney for Salem.